First thing I want to do is go to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 14. In there, it talks about how you build on things. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of a man's work. The reason that I have that picture up there, it's, again, a little bit small, but this is a picture out of China. And you can see a building lying on its side. They built poorly on their foundation. They started digging out a basement garage underneath that building, and it just went thunk. So that's something of a warning on how what you do when you build. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the wood, hay, and stubble. Things will be tested. Things will be challenged. How you live your life will be exposed by fire, the tests of time. Go to the next slide. Key verse that I have for you this morning is Psalm 50, verse 23. It says that whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. The salvation is going to be revealed as we order, as we conduct our lives, according to God's plan, according to God's ways. If you go to the next slide, I ran through some commentaries trying to sort of hone in on this a little bit further, trying to make sure that I'm not giving you some wrong information. But the commentators who are ones who delved into the meaning of the Hebrew in this case talked about it being how you plan for your life, or how you make things a habit or a custom in the way you do things. The one that I liked the best was from Matthew Henry's commentary, and it's the one that's the least distinct, but that's okay. It says, it is not enough for us to offer praise, but we must withal order our conversation aright. Thanksgiving is good, but thanks living is better. That is the direction that I want to go. Now, in looking at our lives as Christians, what I want to do is to give you two pictures to work with. And going to the next slide, we have the progression stages. First of all, I'm going to go into the Old Testament. And we have three stages seen in the tabernacle of Moses. Then we have the stages or ages illustrated in 1 John in the New Testament. And there are some distinct parallels between the two of them. So the first in the Old Testament, you have the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. 1 John talked about little children, young men, and old men. Next slide. So let's look at this first stage in the progression. This is what we call justification. If you look at Romans 5, verse 1, talks about being justified by faith. In the outer court, you had two articles of furniture or equipment. One is the brazen altar, and one is this wash basin. The brazen altar is where the sacrifices were offered. If you look at it, that ties directly in with our view of salvation. Jesus is our sacrifice by which we are made acceptable to the Lord. The second piece in there is the wash basin, and that talks about water baptism. A couple of things about all of this. When you come into the outer court, they had these curtains around it in the tabernacle of Moses. In the tabernacle of Solomon, it was different. They were solid walls, but these were curtains. And there was a separation between you and the outside world. And so there comes, when you enter into salvation, you are entering into a time where you are understanding that there is a spiritual realm and that the ways that you have been taught, the ways that the world has projected to you God's love are not necessarily true. What you see on TV and other media, what you get from imperfect leaders, even your parents, they don't accurately reflect God's love for you. But this is a declaration of God's grace and forgiveness for you. You need to grab hold of that and begin to understand that you are forgiven. And that's going to change some things about the way you think and the way you live your life. It's interesting, and I'm not sure why all the reasons for this, but I heard of a study a long time ago that talked about those who become a Christian and do not get water baptized. They have a greater likelihood of falling back into their old habits and their old ways. But if they get water baptized, there is a greater greater percentage of them stay with the faith and are progressing. So that's an important thing, not just to do one, but to do both of those. Just a little side note for you. Next slide. Okay. So as a kid, first thing that you're learning is God's love and God's forgiveness. As a child, and we've got several little kids around, all of them cute. They are learning about a whole new world, and they're beginning to bump into things and learn a few things. As you grow, it's like you're in the inner court. You've got three articles there. You have the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the golden lampstand. You enter into what we call sanctification or the refining process. That can happen fairly quickly, or it can take a while for you to grab hold of that idea that, oh, if I do this, this isn't good. Maybe God doesn't want me to do that. The table of showbread talks about this refining process. You take wheat. It's got a husk on it, and so in order to get to the useful portion of it, you have to break off the outer shell. They talk about the wheat and the chaff. The chaff needs to be dealt with and done away with so that the useful part, the wheat, can be used for the bread. But it also talks about community. Bread is a lot of wheat, a lot of individual pieces being crushed and basically to powder, which we call flour, and mixed together to make a loaf of bread. Don't take that to mean that you're going to completely lose your identity, that you're going to get lost in the shuffle. If God knows the number of hairs on my head, he has an easier time of counting every day. He can tell where you are and who you are. His care for you does not end. He hasn't forgotten you in the midst of all of this. Even in the midst of a loaf of wheat or a loaf of bread, he knows where you're at. Okay. Altar of incense, you begin to learn about prayer. Then the golden lampstand. There's several things that can be said about this. Holy Spirit baptism. Read the book of Acts and just see how many times Holy Spirit is referred to. Talks about illumination. There's a verse that says that you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. There's a reason for that. I have believed lies. We've believed things that are not true. There are events that have occurred in our lives that when we went through the experience, we interpreted this is what this person meant when he was or she was talking to me, or this is what my mother or father meant when they did this. And it crushed me, and that sent me off over this direction. But God's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to bring you to the point where those things that you believed were true, God's going to show you what actually happened. That should give you hope. That should give you encouragement. And once you have the lies broken in your life, it is going to be a point of freedom, that burden that you have been carrying will no longer be there. Okay. That stage is a long one. The young man stage, because basically it lasts for your whole life. You are going to go through the refining process. The third stage is glorification. In the tabernacle, you had the most holy place. That was the place of the manifest presence of God. You had the Ark of the Tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, basically a box that had two cherubim. And the presence of the Lord, the manifest presence of the Lord, was between the two cherubim. Inside the box were the clay tablets with the Ten Commandments on them, a container of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Now, the story behind Aaron's rod is that there was some contention during the 40 years in the wilderness about who should be the one to be able to go into the presence of the Lord, who had the authority to go in. So God instructed Moses to have the leader of each one of the tribes write their name on a rod or a stick and put it into the ark. And the next morning, it was found that all the other rods were the same, but Aaron's rod had sprouted, I think it was almond leaves, and actually had almonds on it. So that was in the Ark of the Covenant also. Those things, just a side note on the manna. During the 40 years in the wilderness, the manna was to be picked up every morning. On the day before the Sabbath, you would pick up 2 days' supply, and it would last for 2 days. But the rest of the manna, or the rest of the time, the other 6 days or 5 days of the week, it would only last 24 hours. If they tried to keep it longer than that, it would turn to maggots and get all nasty. But they put a container of manna into the Ark of the Covenant, and it lasted beyond the 2 days. That would be a miracle in my book. So you have pictures of the word, provision, miracles, authority in all of that. That talks about the old men. The ones who are able to be consistently in the presence of the Lord. And I refer you now to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 16. As I was preparing this, I was realizing that this has been one of my motivating scriptures over the years. Became a Christian my freshman year in college. And I'm going to give this as a challenge to you. It may or may not show up the next slide, but we'll give it a try. Yeah, it's pretty small. Okay. You can go to your Bible or iPad or other implement. But whatever was to profit, to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too will God make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. want to give you a second challenge that is related to that. In Exodus 33, verse 11. Moses and Joshua have been up on the mountaintop with the Lord. And it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. That would be something to be able to do that. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. He stayed in the presence of the Lord. When we worship, and we are taken up into his presence, that is so much better than it is in the outer court or the inner court. But when we are in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of the Lord, and we are in awe of him, that is our goal. That is where we want to live. And so as I look back on the past 9 months, with all the additional challenges, plus some additional ones that I haven't told you about, that's the goal. Whatever we go through, whatever you go through in life, says that God will make all things work to your good who love Jesus. Amen. That is part of the growth process. That is part of the process of going from a little child to a young man. You begin to understand and to know God's ways. You begin to understand and know God's love for you. The unconditional love, the forgiveness that he has for you. And then as you transition from young man to old man, you are beginning to go from one who is doing things to one who is able to go in and talk to the Lord face to face. So that's the challenge for you this morning, to take a look where you are at in your journey. And what's the next step that you can take Where can you go next? What does God want to do with you now so that you become closer to Him? We're going to get you out before the Methodists. But I'd like the ministry teams to come forward. If you have needs, if you have if you want to take a step, a further step in the Lord, if you want to take a further step in the Lord, I want to pray with you also to give you encouragement, to give you hope. One of the things years ago, had I told God that I would do things, but not if I got turned into a pretzel because of it. Didn't want to get all twisted around, out of shape and everything like that. And God's been faithful. I haven't had to be twisted into a pretzel. There have been challenges, but they are opportunities to grow in the Lord. So if you have some music to play, please come forward.